service.
And welcome to Facebook and to the radio. We'll begin with a little bit of a Vespers liturgy. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, Lamb of God, Lamb of our salvation. Tonight we are reading the part three of the Passion story as told by all four gospel writers. Tonight we are in the palace of the high priest. Those who had arrested Jesus brought him to the high priest's house where the scribes and elders were assembled. Let me back up here. The entire theme of the evening is to we want to be reminded that all of what Jesus did shows us the fierce anger God has for sin and his great love for us. Please listen with that in mind. Peter followed Jesus afar off, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door, so that other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. He went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He was warming himself in the fire, at the fire they had kindled in the middle of the courtyard. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking evidence that might make the case for a death sentence, but they could not find any. Many bore false witness against him, but their statements did not agree. Two stepped forward and said, "We heard him say, 'I shall destroy this temple made with hands, and after 3 days, I shall build another, not made with hands.' But even on this point, that evidence did not agree. Then the high priest stood up, moved to the center, and put this question to Jesus, 'Do you have no answer? What is this evidence they have given against you?' But Jesus was silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest put a question to him and said, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus said, 'I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' The high priest tore his garments and said, 'Do we still need any witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your opinion?' They all agreed that he was deserving of death. Then some of them began to spit on him. They blindfolded him, struck him, and said to him, 'Prophesy to us, O Christ, who is it that struck you?' The guards beat him as they took him away. Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maidservants of the high priest came and saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him closely as he sat in the light of the fire and said, 'You also were along with the man from Nazareth, that Jesus.' Peter denied it and said, 'I don't know what you mean.' He went out to the forecourt. Another maidservant saw him there and said to those who were standing around, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' Peter denied it again with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' A little later, those standing around said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them. You are a Galilean. Your accent gives you away.' Peter started calling down curses on himself and swore, 'I do not know the man.' And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed a second time. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Peter broke down and went out and wept bitterly. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes held the court session with all the Sanhedrin. Then they bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, was sorry and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood. They said, What is that to us? That is your affair. Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. He went and hanged himself. The chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. That is why to this day that field has been called the field of blood. In this way was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by the children of Israel, and gave them for the potter's field. So far the reading of the Passion story. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to all of you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text tonight is the fourth word of the cross from Jesus. Matthew 27, it was about 12 at noon when darkness came over the whole country because the sun had stopped shining. And the darkness lasted until 3 in the afternoon. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus called out aloud, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? Which means, my God, why did you forsake me? When some of the men who were standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he is calling Elijah. Dear friends in Christ, the fourth word is in the middle of the seven words which Jesus spoke on the cross, and it takes us to the heart of his suffering. It shows us that in what Jesus suffered, how angry God is over our sins and how deeply he has loved the world. Tonight I invite you to come one more time to the foot of the cross with all of your weariness, your anxiety, and every bit of uncertainty. Come with all of your failures, your faults, and every bit of your frailty. Come with your questions, your opinions, and your passions. Specifically tonight, come with every bit of darkness which is haunting you or holding you back and making you feel alone. It's Friday afternoon and it's dark everywhere. At Jesus' birth, the night on Bethlehem's field turned bright as day. But at his death, day turned dark as night. This darkness from 12 to 3 in the afternoon was not an eclipse. In an eclipse, the sun is up there, the earth is down here, and the moon comes between the two. Then the side of the moon that faces the earth is dark. When Jesus died, there was a full moon. It was in the days of the Passover, the days of the new moon. The sun, which scientists tell us is 93 million miles away, and 1 1/3 million times as large as the earth, 1 1/3 million times as large as the earth, stopped shining. It was as though God wrapped a blanket of darkness around the earth as he did in the Egyptian plague. No doubt frightened folks all over the world stopped talking, stopped eating, travelers stopped traveling. Without exception, all over the world, routines were interrupted. Heaven and earth were terrified at what was being done to the Son of God. Jesus was alone in the dark. In Gethsemane, Jesus had called on the angels to be with him. He wanted the company of the disciples, but they kept falling asleep. Judas sold him out. Peter followed at a distance. All the others ran away. Jesus was alone with the soldiers when they tied his hands. He was alone before Annas, alone before Caiaphas, alone before Herod, and alone with Pilate. His own people cried out for his crucifixion. His own religious leaders wanted him dead. But the worst slap in the face of Christ was that his Father abandoned him in anger towards the sin of us. There's only one thing that can separate anyone from God, and that is sin. As often as we sin, we are turning our backs on God. We cut ourselves off from his love. We wander away from his grace. We stumble into the forces of darkness. As often as we sin, we become like sheep without a shepherd, leaving the green pastures, sauntering into patches of thistles and worse. By nature, of course, Jesus is not a sinner. His sins don't separate him from his Father. As you know, he is the holy, the innocent, the spotless, the pure, the righteous one. The Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, but without sin. And yet his Father forsook him like a criminal sinking into hell. Most of the time in his days of arrest and trial, Jesus was that lamb who opened not his mouth as he went to slaughter, but in the darkness he cried out, "Why?" In that cry there is misery, and there seems to be mystery. It seems as though this part of the suffering puzzled Jesus. Into his human mind, there had come such a darkness that at least for a moment, he cannot clearly see the purpose of it all. As you spend time at the foot of the cross tonight, I invite you to reflect on those times in your life when you could not see clearly the purposes of God. Perhaps it was a time when your marriage or the marriage of a loved one was fading towards failure. Perhaps it was a time when a young person in your life died without warning. Perhaps it was a friend who took his own life, or a parent suffering from cancer, or a grandparent declining into dementia. In these days of coronavirus, no doubt all of us are wondering about the purposes of God. It seems as if we are living in a long and a lonely tunnel full of people in faraway places struggling to breathe, on ventilators, national shutdowns, statewide orders, economic ruin, and worse. Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? The better question is, well, who is the light at the end of the tunnel? And the clear answer, of course, is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Although it doesn't feel like it these days, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of his Father. He is ruling all of heaven and earth for the benefit of his church, for the long-term benefit of his kingdom. Christ is the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness. The good news is as good as it has ever been tonight. Even when, and especially when, we feel alone in the dark, we know by faith that we are not. Christ would hold us close in these days and invite us to live by faith instead of by sight, to believe that Jesus heals all of our diseases, either here on earth or in heaven. To live by faith is to hold on to the promises of God instead of blowing in the wind. With every news headline that catches your attention, to live by faith is to know that because Christ was forsaken, we will never be. Because he was punished, we are declared innocent. Because he was crucified until he was dead and buried, we may look each other in the eyes and say it out loud, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. He is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks who do get afraid of the dark. But as often as they remember what they have learned from their mother's knees, they are still, and they know that God is God. They are regularly tempted to shake their little fists at Almighty God, wondering why He would allow such trouble. But as often as they meet up with one or two other Christians, they remember that Christ is there in the midst of them. And they calm down. Tonight, as they hear a son crying out to his father, they remember that they are the dear children who may approach their dear Father in heaven anytime they want to. And so they lay their heads down on their pillows tonight with the peace that only Christ can give. They trust that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And the next day they wake up, not so much hunkering down in fear, but rather hunkering down as the beloved people of God, wondering what it means in these days to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves, wondering together, what does it mean in these days for us to be serving one another as Christ first served us? In Jesus' name, amen. A little time of prayer tonight. Gracious God, we pray that you would deliver us from the crafts and the assaults of the devil, from sudden evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion. Deliver us from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death. Good Lord, deliver us by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Help us, good Lord. We implore you tonight to give to all peoples harmony and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need. We pray that you would direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people. We pray that you would watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel. We pray that you would grant all women with child, all mothers with infant children, increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them. We pray that you would strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray Luther's evening prayer. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this night, this day. And we pray that you would forgive us all our sins where we have done wrong, and graciously keep us this night. For into your hands we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls and all things. Let your holy angels be with us, that the evil foe may have no power over us. Amen. Receive the benediction of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Thanks for tuning in tonight, and God bless you from St. Paul Lutheran in Waseca, Minnesota.